Hello, and welcome to the wide world of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Take your seats, keep your hands and feet inside the podcast at all times.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, and we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have some topics planned out for you, but, you know, sometimes that means we go off on deep end as well, because sometimes we don't stick to those topics.
That's right. We jump on the diving board, we take a bounce or two, and then we plunge headfirst into the deep end. And it's cold water, folks.
Well, I'll tell you
what. It's quite a shock to the system.
It is this week in Philadelphia, man. It almost feels like winter, the weather.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the temperature being
I'm
cold.
I'm a winter person.
But at the same time, it's like, isn't it supposed to be April? Where's the...
I guess technically it's supposed to be April, but Mother Nature was like, nah, screw you guys. It's winter.
Yeah. How do you like that?
I like it. This is a message to Mother Nature. I like it. Keep it.
Yep.
If the temperature was like always like 55 degrees, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, we should move to Canada.
Yeah, I hear Canada's pretty nice.
Yeah, I agree with you for the most part, because my logic is, you know, if you're cold, you can always put on like a sweater.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Exactly.
But if you're hot, there's only so much you can do.
We've learned from the odd news, after a certain point, you get charged with a crime.
Yeah, and then you're on the odd news. Yeah,
exactly.
And then that's
so
no
maybe
good.
The temperature should be warmer so we get more odd news. Not that you ever have trouble finding odd news.
No. It's thank you,
around
Florida.
Every single corner.
Yeah, and it's always thanks because of Florida.
Because it's hot down there.
There you
we
go.
We found the connection.
That's why there's always odd news. It's because of all the heat in Florida.
I think there is a connection between heat and people doing crazy things.
Yeah, there's got to be something. We need an official scientific research team to research why there's so many odd news stories that come from Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
See, it's so bad, we have a sound clip devoted to it.
That's right. Sound clip made from two separate sound clips.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to start writing up the grant proposal to get that research study.
Okay.
Dear grant people.
Grant people?
I've never ran to grant proposal, so.
All right, well, we'll have to research that during the break. But before we dive into all the news topics that we have for you, we'd like to do a little recap as to what we've been up to since we were last recording the show. So, Mike, what have you been up to? How was your weekend?
It was all right. It was busy. I have been finishing up my thesis, my grad school thesis. I know I finished writing it, but I just finished editing it and sending it off to be printed. I had to get it, like, you know, print on demand, like actually made into a book.
Wait. So how long is this thesis book you have to write?
It was a minimum of 150 pages.
So, yeah, when it comes out, it's going to be a book?
Yes. And it's going to be a 392-page book.
Wow.
Because I didn't know when to stop writing. And also, I didn't realize that the page size is only like 6x9. So it was like 300 normal word size pages. And then I put it in the template and I'm like, uh-oh. This is really long.
So... All right, here's something I don't get about thesis
right.
stuff, because I did a Master of Arts in Communications, and
right.
our major thing was like a project and
yeah.
speech.
Woo! Well, you did communications, so that makes sense,
yeah.
definitely.
But I don't know, I never had to do like a long
right.
thesis thing. So does this mean you're actually going to have like a book?
Yes, kind of. I mean... It still has to go through a couple rounds of revisions. This is just the thesis version of this manuscript, but it is a completed work. So I hypothetically, I could like self-publish. I could try and reach a publisher.
Why not?
Because it's not ready yet. Like, I mean, it's good, but it's not like up.
Do you
up to
plan
that.
On one day making it public?
Eventually, yeah. I should hope so. I put hours and hours and hours into it. I mean, it's like 300 pages long. So eventually, yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah, here, I know. I can't believe it.
Breaking news right here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Mike is going to have a book someday.
Someday. Eventually.
It's in the works.
Yeah. I have a completed version of said book that may or may not be. Something in the future. We'll leave it at that. Very vague and open.
How about this? You're forming an exploratory committee to see if you're going to publish a book.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah,
we're all about forming committees here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
We all have committees.
Yes. What are you the head of? What committee are you the head of?
The
Odd News, obviously.
Odd News and the Star Wars and Coffee Foundation.
Okay. Nice. Yep. Nice. Nice. Yeah. I'm part of the Video Game League and the Awkward Pause Society.
Good one, Mike.
I was like, I can't think of anything. That fucking sucked. Yeah. Oh, the sound clips.
I'm good at sound bites.
Yeah.
I love this goat right now.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. You gotta have some goat. Dickle.
And you gotta have Dickle.
Of course. You gotta have some Dickle.
I love this.
Dickle. Son of a bitch. I've said so many other things. That's the one, though. That's the one.
I love this.
Dickle. You're very proud of yourself, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
You've actually said worse.
I have said worse.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty bad.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, crazy stuff just happens.
Yep.
Anyway, moving along. Rich, what have you
Look
been
up... Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure everybody's had that thought at one point or another. But Rich, what have you been up to recently?
Watching the craziness that was March Madness, to be honest
with
you.
That's right. That's been everywhere. You can't avoid it.
No, if you're in the Philadelphia area, this was the subject all over, posted everywhere for the weekend. Villanova in the Final Four and then making their way to the national championship game, which they won. And I think that's a good transition right into our first segment. Folks, it's time for the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep, sports coming at you in your face here.
That's right. To kick things off, we have a little bit of basketball news.
That's right, we do.
Woo! Yeah. You gotta have basketball music.
Yeah, you gotta have the basketball music.
This is very, like, action-packed, dramatic music.
Yeah.
I love it.
Villanova did it. I don't know what else to say. Let's start on Saturday. They blew out.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was.
That was embarrassing.
They blew out Oklahoma on Saturday.
95-51.
The biggest margin of defeat ever in a Final Four game.
Well, I heard Oklahoma was talking.
Yeah.
Before the game. That's what you get.
Yeah.
Get spanked.
That's what happens. So then they advanced to the Monday night championship game, and they had one of the most interesting and fascinating championship games I've ever watched. It started out with North Carolina actually going up ahead in the first half, but then Villanova came soaring back. And they, at one point, they had a 10-point lead in the second half.
Wow.
But then, on the flip side, North Carolina stormed back. And with less than 10 seconds to go, North Carolina sank a three to tie the game up perfectly at 74-74. And it was at that point, all of Philadelphia just went, face palm, oh, God, we're choking this one away.
I mean, would you be surprised if they did end up choking it away?
No. And to be honest with you, I think that was everybody's thought. Don't tell me you were like, oh, yeah, they're going to still do it in the end. No, every Philadelphia
fan was
like, oh, God, we're going into overtime. We're going to blow this game.
Because we've been bred to think that way.
Yeah.
It's in our nature.
That's right. But luckily, Villanova played it cool. They got one last shot off. And... And I just left the music still going. And the rest is history. Now, I could play the TBS commentators call of the last second game winning shot. But okay. I would like to give the student radio station of Villanova some credit because I think they did a really good job calling the game. So here was Villanova's student radio station calling the game in real time, and this was how they called the last second game winning shot for the Villanova Wildcats to win the championship.
Across the timeline, 2 seconds to go. Jenkins three, right wing to win it. He made it! He made the three from the right wing at the buzzer. Cats win it all. Villanova is the king of college basketball once again.
Yeah.
There you go. Nice.
I love student radio.
Yeah. You gotta,
I started out there. That's how I started out.
Exactly. And you got to give them props. I mean, you know, they're working hard to cover those games.
Yeah.
Not like me, who didn't even bother to watch.
Really? You didn't watch any of it?
I forgot.
You forgot?
I started.
It was everywhere.
I know. Well, you know what? I was tired from working all weekend, and I turned it on for like the first minute or two, and then I was like, oh, this is going to take forever. I'm going to flip to something else. And then I like got distracted, and then I forgot until I got the notification on my phone that they won. I was like, oh, cool. Congrats.
Philadelphia finally has a national championship team, and you just went, oh, all right, congrats. Yeah.
Congrats. No, I mean, it's exciting that they won, and I feel, you know, I feel happy for Villanova and all their fans. I'm just not one to get all, like, crazy and excited and hyper and everything. I was like, yeah, good job for them.
Damn it, Mike, get excited! We finally did something!
It's not the Eagles, though.
Oh, come on, Mike.
You know where
the Eagles aren't ever going to win a Super Bowl.
Don't you say that, Rich. Take it back. Take it back.
Oh, there we go. Now I got you going.
Because, I mean, you know that's where my heart and soul lies, is with the Eagles.
But that's it. Come on, man. Villanova did it.
Yeah, they did it. I see people outside like rioting, and it's like, it's like, okay.
I love how I can just get this like one extreme or the other from you. Yeah. This is college basketball. The Eagles. What?
Well, people that know from listening to the podcast, I'm usually pretty even keel unless somebody's like naked and sticking things up their butt or it's the Eagles. Those are the two things I get like really loud about, you know.
Mike, be happy. Villanova.
I know. I am happy. I'm just
be
not
excited.
Like, I'm excited.
Go turn over a car.
I'll try. Excuse me. Well, I'm gonna go turn over a car.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, you need to do this. You need to embrace...
I'm back. I turned over a car.
You need to embrace your Philadelphia heritage, support Villanova, and let's go to Butler Pike and turn over a car.
Some guy comes up like, why is my car upside down? Because Villanova won!
Villanova!
And you just tear off down the street. He's like, you guys are jerks. Turn my car back over.
I kind of support you because it's for Villanova.
But I also hate you because my car's upside down. No, but in all seriousness, Villanova deserved this. You know, they've had an interesting ride all season long. They were, at one point, number one in the entire country.
That's right. First
so
time ever.
They had the talent.
Yep.
They had the ability. You know, they took a little bit of a dip. But then they stormed back in this tournament, and they won it all. And they won it all in amazing fashion. They're beating opponents left and right, close games, blowouts. But I have to say, the MVP was me. Because I didn't believe in them, and that gave them the motivation to go on and win.
You still don't believe it. You're still just like, all right.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting. It is. It is. It's just college basketball. I'm not a big college basketball fan.
But it's a national championship.
Yeah, but it's college basketball.
On a last-second buzzer beater.
That was exciting. I've seen the clips of it, and it was very exciting.
And you missed out on it. What were you watching? What were you watching instead?
Law and Order SVU.
Oh, my God.
What?
Really?
It's a fun show, yeah.
But it's probably the same episodes they've was it a new episode?
It was a new episode.
Do they even make new episodes?
Yes, they make new episodes. It was a crossover with the Chicago PD, which I don't even watch. So I was pissed off because, like, find out what happens on Chicago PD. And I'm like, I don't want to find out what happens. I want you to tell me what happens. So that's what I was doing instead of watching Villanova win a national title.
All right, well, I'm going to disappoint you for the rest of this sports sampler because we are not talking football, all right?
No, we're not. I'm really – that's another reason why I just can't get excited because I look at the rundown of basketball, golf.
There is no football in the sports sampler, all right? It's the off season. Football, take a break, all right? But
– this is highly disappointing. But Villanova.
Right. Yeah, be happy.
Villanova is amazing. They beat North Carolina. North Carolina has won so many of these stupid things.
Yeah, all right. They made Michael Jordan cry again.
They made Michael Jordan cry again.
Yeah. His alma mater was North Carolina.
Oh, okay. See, yeah. I know so little about basketball. I saw a stat that North Carolina won 5 titles.
There you go.
So that's something.
Good job.
This is Villanova's first title in, what, 31 years?
Yep, since the 85.
That's another stat.
Wow, you're doing good.
I know the stats,
you're 2 for 2
right now. I got the stats. Yeah, yeah. I know stuff.
All right, there you go. Mike Costanzo, he knows stuff.
Last week I had grenades, and now it's Michael Costanzo. Stuff.
Stuff.
He knows stuff. The best stuff.
The best stuff.
The greatest stuff.
All right, well, in honor of Villanova doing the unthinkable and winning the national championship and bringing home a prestigious title for Philadelphia, folks, you guys deserve the epic win button.
Woo! Mamma mia! Yeah!
I think he's an Indian.
Like
Fresh
Eyes.
Yes.
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah. I still can't believe that Villanova, they are your national champions of this March Madness tournament. 6 wins, and they are now your national champions. Oh, I just loved it. You know, I gotta point this out before we leave this topic. My favorite part about the game winning shot is that the star player did not take the shot to win at all. He was dribbling up the court and caused North Carolina's second defender to tease up a little bit.
Yeah.
And to try and go into double pressure onto that guy. And then he passes it back to Jenkins, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And Jenkins takes the shot at the 3 to win it.
It was a really well-designed play.
Yeah. And I just love that because that was teamwork at its finest, you know? Even though he's the star player, he was the senior. That was his last game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, maybe your ego would have got to you there. Like, you know, this is my senior moment. I'm going to win the national championship. No, he gave it up to Jenkins. Jenkins sank it.
That's what wins championships, is setting the ego aside to do what's best for the team.
Yeah.
You know, like Oklahoma, I know the championship wasn't against Oklahoma, but Oklahoma, they had been talking and, you know, talking trash on Villanova and they got destroyed. You know, that's what happens. You got to set the ego aside and you have to have confidence. But you can't be running your mouth.
That's
you know?
Right.
Villanova comes out, and like you correctly pointed out, they had great teamwork. They had, you know, solid play, and they just...
Yep. Oh, also, if I remember correctly, they have the highest field goal percentage of shots made in the national championship game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mean of all time?
Yeah.
Or?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Of a winner in the national championship game, they have the highest field goal made percentage.
They're a very efficient team.
Yep.
I mean, like I said, they were ranked 1 overall in the country at one point.
Yep.
So we know that they had the talent. And they had to beat, you know, other very talented teams to get here. They had to beat number 1 seed Kansas, number 2 seed Oklahoma.
Yep.
You know, they had a tough road. And
then
every
UNC
step,
too.
Yeah. Every step of the journey, they were just showed up.
Yep. And Jenkins, by the way, now this the most famous Jenkins in America, second only to Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins!
Boy, he had to stretch for that one.
His name is Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins!
It occurred to me on the epic win button. They're both Jenkins.
It'd be better if his name was actually Leroy.
Still awesome.
Yeah.
Leroy!
Oh my god, he just took the shot. Like that should be the next clip. Oh my god, he just took the shot.
Well, at least I got a national championship.
Yeah, there you go. That's what he can say to defend his actions. But there you go.
So
Villanova, congratulations. Love it.
When are we going to get the next championship, though? Another 31 years before another sports team wins?
Well, someone pointed this out, that the last time Villanova won the national championship, it then took 23 years till the Phillies winning the championship in 08. We could be looking at 23 years of no championships now.
Really?
Yep. So
enjoy it while it lasts, yep. I guess. I'm suddenly much more excited to know that this is the last one we'll have for another two decades.
Yep. Mike, just enjoy it.
I do enjoy it. Villanova's right around the corner from us.
Yeah, it is. That's why it's big news. It is. Get excited.
But it wasn't my school.
Who cares if it wasn't your school? It's Philadelphia. It wasn't my school either.
It's not even really Philadelphia, though. Yes, it is. Suburbs.
It's the Philadelphia area.
Yes.
It's Delco.
Okay.
Woo! I'll party with Delco.
Okay. Sure. Okay, yeah. But no, all kidding aside, this is fantastic for the Philadelphia area. Everybody should be very happy for Villanova. Doing the city proud by winning this championship.
Yep.
Puts us in the national spotlight. We deserve it, I think.
Yes. And I'll tell you what, we all know for sure Villanova right now is the best basketball team in Philadelphia because it sure ain't the 76ers. All right.
No, it's not. They have not been a good team for a long time, Rich.
Right. All right, so there you go. Congratulations to Villanova. What a awesome moment that was for Nova to win the national championship on Monday night. But things even got sweeter as we found out that 76ers legend Allen Iverson is a first ballot entry into the NBA Hall of Fame. This is awesome.
Now, this is exciting. I mean, this is exciting in addition to Villanova winning, of course.
Yes.
The 1-2 punch was like first Nova wins and then Allen Iverson, or is it the other way around?
I think actually
Allen Iverson get in first?
Yeah, got in first before the
Either way. It was a good weekend for Philadelphia basketball.
Yes, which is weird to say considering the 76ers are in last place.
Yeah, who thought we'd ever say that statement?
This year, yeah.
But Allen Iverson gets into the Hall of Fame. You know, it's weird because there was always so much like controversy surrounding him during his time in Philadelphia here.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me, too.
Exactly. Practice, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows the classic practice rant.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
Yeah. He goes out there and he dies at every game.
Man. No wonder he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. That is impressive to go out there and die and come back that many times.
Yep.
That's crazy. but Allen Iverson, you know, sometimes it gets lost in the controversy, but he is an amazing player. I looked up some stats, right? He's 23rd all-time in points scored, 12th all-time in steals, and 7th all-time in points per game.
He was a four-time scoring champion.
Yes, he was. He has a lot of accolades to his credit. 11-time NBA All-Star.
I think you could make the case he's one of the best players to never win an NBA title.
I think that's a fair assessment to make.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fantastic for so many years. 11-time NBA All-Star. 3-time All-NBA first team. He was Rookie of the Year. Like you said, 4-time scoring champion, 3-time steals leader. You know, he did have that one championship series against the Lakers, didn't he?
Yeah, 0-1, but they didn't win.
They didn't win, but they did win one of the games in the series.
Which, by the way, that was an achievement.
That's a big upset.
Because the Lakers that year were actually undefeated in the playoffs. They swept every series they were in that postseason except the Sixers.
Yeah.
The Sixers took one from
them.
They were
an unstoppable force that year.
Yeah, I mean, that was the height of the Kobe-Shaq era.
Yeah, they were, oh my gosh, they won a few, didn't they?
Oh yeah, they won 3, I think.
Was it 3?
Yeah. I think it was a 3-peat, if I remember correctly. I don't know. I hate when the Lakers win. Screw the Lakers. They've won enough titles.
Didn't you tell me once that they have won, like...
Something ridiculous.
Like a third of all NBA championships or something stupid like that?
They've been in a third of all... Something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like the Yankees.
The Yankees of basketball.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, go... Yeah.
And meanwhile, we got to wait 31 years before one of our college teams wins a championship. Jeez.
Yeah.
And they have a third of all appearances.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
But that year, I think that was the year that... AI also was given the MVP 2001. He's just a fantastic player. He was so fun to watch, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that made watching 76ers games fun, you know, because he, to quote his famous quote, he played with his heart, and you could tell when he wore his emotions on his sleeve. You could tell when he was upset. You could tell when, you know, he thought something was going against him that shouldn't have been. And, you know, him and Larry Brown always clashed heads because, you know, Larry Brown wasn't really that kind of. He didn't want to let superstars take over the team.
Right.
And Allen Iverson kind of wanted to. He wanted to be the end-all, be-all of the Sixers. It was an interesting dynamic.
He was. I mean, he carried that team for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
By himself.
But I just – watching those games were just awesome, especially when Iverson was playing.
Yeah, this sounds weird coming from me now, you know, knowing the stuff that I've said on the podcast. But back – in Allen Iverson's prime, I liked basketball. I would watch Allen Iverson play basketball.
It was worth it.
That's a testament to the type of player he was. He was exciting to watch. He was fun to watch. He put butts in seats at games.
Yeah.
You know? And he did a lot of good for the franchise.
Then
they got rid of him, and we kind of have never recovered.
I always loved how Allen Iverson looked small compared to all the NBA players. And the fact was he was still like 6 foot.
Yeah, he's taller than I am, but he's like a midget in terms of
with all these NBA players. Yeah. But he would still find ways to score and just,
He was a fantastic player. Like, he played, they always say, play bigger than your size. He always did.
He always did. He didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't play like a 6 foot player. He played with the best of the tall guys, you know?
Yeah, he just didn't let size intimidate him, and that's what led him to be one of the best scorers in NBA history.
So I guess it goes without saying, well-deserved induction in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy to see him go in, especially as a first ballot Hall of Famer. No question.
I think he deserves it.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah. Especially for Philadelphia. Philadelphia,
no doubt.
He's easily the best player the Sixers had in the last 25 years. I can't think of anybody else.
Nobody even comes close.
Yeah.
I can't even name other players. Except for Dikembe Mutombo.
Woo! Yeah, he was with Mutombo. Yeah.
That shows you. I knew something about that team.
The finger wag.
No. But yeah, Dikembe Mutombo, Allen Iverson, that was an amazing team to watch.
Yeah. Eric Snow was the point guard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a great squad.
It was good times in Philadelphia basketball.
And the Sixers haven't been to a final since.
It's been a wasteland ever since.
Yep.
So, the Sixers, you know, I just want to diverge here. Are they going to break 10 wins this season?
I don't know. At this rate, probably not.
Because, I mean, they're gunning for another high pick, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. It's another one of those seasons.
Oh, they are. At the time of this recording, this might change, but they're 10-68.
Luckily, they just break 10.
I mean...
Barely.
Just barely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. That's our basketball news that we had to get to. But there's still one more thing we have to talk about.
Exciting, yes. Thrilling, like edge of your seat topics.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. It's amazing.
Yes.
What is it, Rich?
The Masters! It's the actual theme song, by the way.
No, it's not. Shut up. Are you serious? This is the theme song. No, wait. Play the basketball theme song again. Do you have the basketball theme song?
I can pull it back up. But yeah, that's you the
have
actual.
Da 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 and do 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 do.
Yep. Woo!
I mean, I'm on the verge of yawning. It's so exciting. So the Masters.
Yes. I love golf.
Loyal followers of the podcast will know that I know nothing about golf, even less than basketball. I know in the rundown I put it's happening. The Masters is happening. Golf is going to occur.
Yes, it is. This is the first major out of the four major tournaments.
Masters is at Augusta?
Yes!
I've learned some things. He's drilled it into my head over the past 3-4 years, but I'm getting there.
Yeah. So,
no, that's too loud.
He's learning.
Mikey's first golf.
Aww.
Yay.
Well, okay, so this is the first major out of the four major tournaments throughout the year.
Right.
And the Masters is arguably the most legendary. I mean, it's been around. It's exclusive.
It's one of the few that's held in one location, right?
Yeah.
The other ones sort of bounce around.
Yeah, the other ones travel to different golf courses in the regions.
Right.
But Masters is always at Augusta. It's invitation only.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
So if you badmouth Augusta, you will never...
Has that ever happened? Like a really good golfer is like, oh, I don't like their tee or I don't like their greens. And Augusta's like, screw you, good sir. You're not being invited this year.
I bet you there has been something.
Because like,
they do
their
have
monocle
the power.
Pops out like, oh my.
Oh my.
Well, I know one chap who's not getting an invitation. That's righto.
You one vagabond, you get out of here.
Isn't this in the south of the U.S.?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm speaking like an old British person.
Oh, you dirty vagabond, you get out of here.
Vagabond. A preppy.
Only
a person from Augusta would call a preppy golfer a vagabond.
I'm sure at some point somebody's been banned. I'm sure if you look it up.
Really?
Yeah. Because wow. They have that power. I doubt that they have that power and they've never used it, you know?
Yeah. I feel like they would have totally used that at some point.
Yeah. And we all know the Eisenhower tree story.
Yeah, where Eisenhower was like, I don't like this tree. And Augusta's like, okay.
Screw you. We're naming
it after
you.
We're making it bigger.
And then they said, we're naming it after you.
Yeah.
So, actually, you know what? We'll play the promo for that in the break. So, there you go.
That's a good idea.
We'll recap that in the break.
But back to this.
Back to this year's Masters.
Masters. So, one thing you like to do is you like to go over the odds.
Yeah, who's the favorite?
So who
are you expecting to win?
Are there going to be familiar names? Because I know in past years we talked about guys like Spieth and Tiger Woods and, you know, all those classic names.
Yeah. Well, right now, I think the best way to describe it is there's more of a breadth of talented golfers.
Okay.
There's not really a single favorite.
Okay.
If there is a favorite, it's technically right now Jason Day, according to Vegas.
That's a new name. We haven't heard that name yet, I don't think.
No, we
have?
Yeah, last year, he finished like second and third in a couple of the majors.
Okay.
He's been playing very well lately. He's favored to win at 7-1.
I mean, that's not great odds.
No, these aren't great odds. That's why I'm saying it's more of a breadth.
Okay.
That
keeps it exciting for fans.
That's right, because there isn't an overwhelming favorite.
Right, right.
Then we have Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy tied at 8-1.
Now, Jordan Spieth was like the best golfer last year, wasn't he?
He had the one of the best years I've ever seen out of a PGA, a young PGA professional ever.
He
won two majors last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't he only need to win like two more majors to get that like golden jacket, or whatever they call it?
Green jacket is the Masters.
Okay.
That's it.
What the hell is a golden jacket?
There is no golden jacket.
Oh, I just made that up.
Yeah, you made that up.
Okay. Wow. All right, then.
Grand Slam is what you're trying to refer to.
I feel like they should give him a gold jacket, though.
If you get a Grand Slam, gold jacket.
I think that's a good idea.
But Jordan Spieth won the Masters last year, so actually, if he wins the Masters, it doesn't really help him in the quest of a Grand Slam. However, it does help Rory McIlroy, because this is the one that he hasn't won.
Okay.
Rory McIlroy has won the U.S. Open, the British Open, and the PGA Championship.
So this is the last one that he needs to win.
Yeah, so this is why I think personally...
But does it count if he doesn't win them all in 1 year?
Yeah, you don't have to win it all
really?
In 1 year. I mean, you could, that's even more of a feat that you did it. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, we're talking about career-wise.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you say he's going to bring it then.
I think Rory McIlroy is really your favorite, because I think he wants to prove the... See, here's the thing, right? We have a guy named Phil Mickelson,
right,
who is one of the most accomplished golfers in the PGA Tour. He's done almost everything that you can think of except win a U.S. Open.
Really?
And that's the thing everybody remembers Phil Mickelson for. He hasn't won a U.S. Open yet. He finished second place.
So McIlroy doesn't want to be...
And I think McIlroy doesn't want to be this generation's Phil Mickelson.
Wow.
I think he's going to bring it this year. If I'm betting... I'm betting money on Rory McIlroy. I think he's going to win it this year.
So there you go, folks. You heard it here first.
That's my opinion.
What's his name? Rory?
Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy.
Oh, yeah. And all the girls love him, too, with his young looks and hair. Oh, yeah. The girls love him.
Okay. I mean, young looks and hair. That's like every... young person ever.
Not Jordan Spieth. He's balding.
Oh, poor Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, man.
He's only got his millions of dollars from winning
and
two
he
majors.
He won two majors last year. I don't know. It's up to you. Next at 10 to 1 is Bubba Watson. He's a previous
Bubba
Masters
Watson.
Winner.
Yeah, I recognize that name.
Yeah, he's won. I think he's won it twice before, so he knows the course.
Wow.
Yeah, he knows the course very well. That's why he's always a favorite at this event. Then we have Adam Scott at 12 to 1.
That's another name we've heard.
Yep. Then Dustin Johnson at 15 to 1. He
didn't he come in second?
Yeah,
one time
last year at the U.S. Open, he was I think three strokes ahead with two holes to go, and he blew it to Jordan Spieth.
No.
Yep. So hopefully, maybe this Masters, he can regain some composure. Then Ricky Fowler at 15 to 1. There's another one who he's an interesting story.
He was like the most overrated or most underrated, and then he won like a player's
Then he won the Players' Championship.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right. Yeah, you remember. There you go.
Rich, I'm secretly a huge golf fanatic.
There you go.
Okay?
You're starting to get the hang of this.
I mean, 3 years of it. I hope so.
Yep. Yeah, so like Mike said, he's actually right. Ricky Fowler was voted most overrated last year by all the PGA players.
He won.
And then the week after that, he won like by like eight strokes, like something ridiculous.
That's a pretty big margin to win
by. Just like he had that anger, just like, I'm going to show you guys wrong.
Yeah, you got to play with a chip on your shoulder.
But now the thing is, can he actually win a major? He hasn't done that. So maybe he can make some noise as well. Then Phil Mickelson also at 15 to 1. So there you go. Just an idea.
So classic question: is Tiger going to be in this thing?
Probably not.
Really?
he's
not going to get invited.
No. I mean, no. He'll get invited, but I don't
think
he's
not
playing.
He's not playing.
Yeah, I think.
Wow.
I think he's still just. You know.
I mean, his career's over for all intents and purposes.
He's in a bad place right now, and he needs to sort through whatever he needs to do to get back to his game.
I think he needs to get out of the game. He hasn't been relevant. Since we started this podcast, he hasn't been relevant.
No, not really.
Like, not at all. Every single time we talk golf, I always ask, where's Tiger? And you're like, well, you know, he's at the bottom of the pack. Oh, he lost the first round. Oh, you know, his odds are like 140 million to one. Why does he even bother?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to hear anything from Tiger Woods this
weekend.
That's
a shame.
But, yeah, there you go. Just to give you some, you know, something to expect if you hear any coverage of the Masters,
right?
You know what to expect. Those are the heavy hitters that should be in line to win it. But you know what? That's one of the greatest things about golf is you never know who's going to be a surprise, who's going to come out of nowhere. I mean, this time last year, we never even heard of Jordan Spieth. We were like, who the hell is that?
And then he wins two majors.
He wins the Masters and the U.S. Open.
So, and that I guess that's what makes it exciting for fans is that you always get some young new guy who comes in and like completely changes the face of the game.
That's right. And then, of course, Augusta is just such a legendary course. There's so much history that goes into that. And I'm sure you'll hear all the stories over the weekend from the commentators about all the holes, all the landmarks, the Eisenhower tree.
Are there that many landmarks? It's a golf
course.
There is
actually a lot. You really don't know. There's a
really?
Lot. Yeah.
I mean, I know the Eisenhower tree. Isn't there like a bridge or something?
There's a bridge. Yeah, you're right. Yes, there's
a turtle on the bridge. I remember a lot of things. Wasn't there a turtle on the bridge?
I don't think there's a turtle on the bridge. But
no. The commentators were talking about a turtle by the bridge or under the bridge or...
I think that was just one instance where there was a turtle that wouldn't move or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
We had a story about that.
But it doesn't happen like every year. The way you had it.
No.
Ooh, the turtle comes out every year.
That would be amazing. And now, folks, for the traditional turtle crossing of the bridge. Let's watch.
For 8 hours.
And it's just dead silence.
Just 8 hours as this turtle goes over the bridge.
And he's finally made it to the other side.
Thank God.
Thank God.
This is taking too long.
I haven't eaten in 7 hours.
I would rather watch paint dry.
And now back to golf. I'm going to kill myself.
Well, there you go. Some golf to get. I don't know. I'm excited. I can't wait for golf to return the Masters.
Well, I'm glad you're excited.
Woo!
This has been an exciting sports sampler for you.
Yeah, Villanova, Allen Iverson, golf.
I'm like barely present.
Well, step up your game, son.
I'm gonna have to.
Because coming up next, we have the Entertainment Entree, and we have to talk about some zombies with the Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so don't go anywhere. More shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
The Masters always takes place at Augusta. Also, it's invitation only. This would be like if the Super Bowl, Roger Goodell has to invite the two teams to come to the Super Bowl.
Sorry, Broncos. I know you went 13-3, but we just feel you weren't a right fit this year.
Yeah. You know.
As it turned out.
That actually might have worked.
It might have worked. Super Bowl. They should have taken San Fran to the Super Bowl with the Seahawks.
The Eisenhower tree, a pine tree that is on the 17th hole at Augusta, has officially been declared dead. It's called the Eisenhower tree for a reason.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Actually, because of the U.S. President, Dwight Eisenhower.
Okay.
Because Dwight Eisenhower grew tired of that tree gobbling up his approach shots. He actually lobbied the club to have it removed. But the chairman of the Augusta Country Club said, I am not removing this tree.
Wow. And to spit in Eisenhower's face, he said, no.
Yeah.
We're going to name it after you.
Yeah, matter of fact, we're going to name it after you.
You son of a bitch. Take that. It's like openly mocking the president of the United States.
Ike could take down Germany, but he couldn't take down a tree in Augusta. This is golf. We are tougher than Nazis.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Man, that sports sampler was so exciting.
It was.
All right, yeah. I was so excited. Yeah. All the basketball news, Villanova winning the championship, golf. Ah, I'm pumped up.
Yeah.
Mike, that's as pumped up as Mike's going to be.
I mean, this music is like, you know, it's pretty exciting.
Feel it, Mike.
I don't know why. All right, yeah, I'm excited.
Come on, Mike.
I don't know. I don't know. Golf just put me in such a mellow mood.
Ah,
man.
Golf.
Golf. You're the only person that screams, ah, golf. Now, if it were mini golf.
Oh, come on.
Mini golf is fun.
Yeah, it's fun, but come look, on. All golf should excite you.
Regular golf, you hit a ball. What are you dodging? A sand
dodging.
Thing?
Oh, you mean when you aim
your obstacles.
Shot.
You got sand. You got some trees. In mini golf, there's like, you got to hit your ball down like a little slide sometimes. You got to get it inside a windmill. You got to like narrowly get it between two like little like embankments. Sometimes there was one golf course, we had to purposely shoot it down the river. Like the little like streams and stuff that go through the mini golf course. Shut up, Rich.
I just love this. Let me get descriptions of this. Keep going.
You had to shoot it down the little stream to get it down to where it was. And you're looking at it, and you're like, oh man, this is going to take me like two or three shots to even get down to the hole. But no, if you shoot it in the river, it takes it down for you. It's pretty smart.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go. Trickery in mini golf.
Yeah. If regular golf had trickery like that, it would be really exciting. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, I'll take that with the PGA committee.
You should. You have a direct.
I'm sure the people.
You have inroads with them,
don't you? I'm sure the people at Augusta will love you.
Yeah, I mean, if other people made their monocles pop out, their monocles just exploded into their eyes with what I just said.
All right. Well, I'll stop the pain for Mike then. No more golf talk. Let's jump right into our next segment. We have entertainment news and pretty much a big story to get to, so I can't wait for this too. We got so much to cram in, so let's dive right into it. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Entertainment
Oh yeah, we're talking some wrestling.
I don't know what is this.
This is Suplex City, bitch.
Okay.
Yeah, we're entering Suplex City because over the weekend it was WrestleMania.
Okay.
Oh yeah, WrestleMania, the Super Bowl of WWE.
They suplexed people. I don't know what a suplex is.
That's when you throw your opponent behind you.
Okay.
Relentless.
Wow.
I
mean, I've played the wrestling games with you before, so I'm familiar with some of the things.
So you take the opponent, you throw him completely behind you, without.
Okay. That sounds really painful.
Yeah.
Why would they do that? That's very, very rude, Rich.
Because it's wrestling.
It's wrestling.
This has to get you excited. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, WrestleMania is huge. This is like the biggest event, right?
Oh, yeah. This is the Super Bowl of the WWE.
All right. So what happened in WrestleMania?
Well, I caught most of it. Here's the things that were overrated as far as I'm concerned, unfortunately.
Overrated. Uh-oh.
Yeah. The WWE Championship match was kind of a yawn, which is a little bit sad because that was the main event.
Wow, that's disappointing. They have control over these things. Why don't they make it more interesting?
Well, unfortunately, because they want Roman Reigns to be the new star of WWE, and
why?
The fans
don't
want it.
I haven't even heard of that name.
Yeah, exactly. And the fans don't want it either.
Okay.
But he won the WWE Championship over Triple H, which that was
now, so Triple H is a name I've heard of.
Yeah, it was so predictable.
Oh.
So, unfortunately, in my mind, that was a little bit overrated. Something else was a little bit of a miscue, in my opinion, was actually Suplex City, bitch, was Brock Lesnar. He faced off against Dean Ambrose, who's known as this crazy, hardcore kind of style wrestler, like a Mick Foley kind of wrestler.
Okay.
And they only used like two weapons during the whole match. Like, you have a guy who's known.
They're supposed to use weapons?
Well, I mean, they can if it's called a no disqualification match.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, and it was.
And they only used two weapons.
Yeah, he only used steel chairs. Although he did use a lot of them, but he still only used steel chairs. And he used the steps.
Well, the steps is a cool one.
It is. Oh yeah, it's cool. But I kind of thought with it being WrestleMania, a big stage, disqualification.
What did you want them to use? A chainsaw?
I wanted a chainsaw. I wanted a barbed wire bat from Walking Dead.
Okay, Negan.
Yeah, I wanted some serious stuff. I was expecting a hardcore match, and they didn't really, you know, chair, yeah,
The stairs, though.
The
stairs
that
are pretty big, aren't they?
Yeah, but
they're impossible to use in the video game.
I don't know. I felt like there could have been more of a variety with that. You had a no disqualification match.
What's the craziest weapon you've seen in wrestling that you would want them to use?
A table lit on fire. That was pretty epic.
It seems really incredibly dangerous.
Yep, but Edge, he took Mick Foley and he speared him through it. That was awesome.
I mean,
he took a table, lit it on fire, and speared.
People are flammable.
Whoops.
Whoops. Oh, well.
So, I don't know. It was all right, but I felt like for it being WrestleMania, no disqualification match, you had a someone who's known for being hardcore.
Right.
He used to be in Combat Zone Wrestling, if you're familiar with that league.
No, not at all. Zone Wrestling.
Google that when you're bored. You'll see some real hardcore stuff there. And they just didn't use them. I was a little disappointed.
I mean, wrestling is trying to appeal to a younger crowd, though, nowadays, aren't they? It's not like the 90s where it's like...
Boring.
You want to go back to, like, the 90s where it was like...
Yeah!
It was like lighting tables
on fire.
The Attitude Era.
That's right.
I didn't know it had a name.
Yeah, that's what they called it, the Attitude Era, because you had Stone Cold Steve Austin in The Rock. You had Ric Flair. You had all these just...
Like, big characters.
Yeah. I'm not going to take crap
now
characters.
It's just it strikes me as like watered down and very like mainstream.
It is, like, for example, this clip no wrestler that's new could get away with.
The answer is yes, you son of a bitch.
Oh he cursed. Ooh.
They're not allowed to curse anymore.
They're not supposed to. Yeah. Unless you're like an established star like Stone Cold Steve Austin or something like that. If you're a new up and comer, you're not supposed to curse. Ooh.
Really?
Yeah. Like, what?
How young is their audience?
Well, ever since John Cena, they've been trying to target, like, kids and everything.
Okay.
The PG era, literally.
But, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird.
It's iffy.
I don't know. It's strange.
It is. However, there was one highlight of the night that I want to get to, and
okay.
this was awesome. There was a match between Shane McMahon and The Undertaker, and I think this
Undertaker's
stole the...
Undertaker's old, isn't he?
Yes. And Shane McMahon's old, too, but they stole the show as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
They had a match in a Hell in a Cell.
That's where they put the whole ring inside of, like, a cage, right?
Yeah.
It's not just, like, it has a top to it, too, right?
Yes. That's the difference between this and a steel cage match. A steel cage match doesn't have a top to it, but a Hell in a Cell match has a top to it.
Okay.
And I'm glad you pointed that out, because this top is at least 20 feet in the air. There's more. It's probably 20 feet and then some.
Well, that sounds dangerous.
Yep. And Shane McMahon decided to try and do an elbow drop from the top of it.
That sounds like a really bad idea.
Yes, and here is the actual call from the WWE play-by-play announcers of Shane McMahon actually thinking and doing an elbow drop from the top of the Hell in a Cell match and onto The Undertaker.
No, Shane McMahon is over 20 feet.
Come on, no.
Above the floor.
No.
Shane McMahon, he can't be thinking straight. Shane O'Mac is on top of Hell in a Cell.
Shane, don't do it.
You can't do this.
Shane, no. No.
My God.
Damn it, Shane. Stop it. Shane, don't do this.
No.
Shane, no. No. Oh, my God. God, no. For the love of mankind, Shane just exploded through our table.
That was also pretty cool, too. It was also their table, the one that they were commentating on.
That's funny. No, damn it. Don't do it. That was funny. They really sell it. You got to give them props, man.
Yeah,
they did a good job selling that. So he jumped down onto their table?
Yeah.
Why? Was there a guy there?
Yeah, Undertaker was lying on it.
Oh, man. That's insane.
Yeah.
I know wrestling is like, I know it's scripted, but a dude is still jumping
20 feet into a table.
Yeah, into another guy who's laying on a table.
Yep.
And there's people sitting at that table broadcasting the game, the match.
Yeah.
Right. That's like, if we're sitting here and all of a sudden JB leaps from the ceiling and crashes through our table.
Right, Bruno all of a sudden jumps from the kitchen over into here, yeah.
Oh, I would be very upset about that, but it'd be very interesting.
Yep.
So he broke their table.
Oh, easily. Oh, yeah.
Where was their recording equipment? I guess
they had to
move
to another table.
They had to, like, steal a fan's chair. Like, can we borrow this?
No, well, they have other language tables. Like, they have a German broadcast table.
So they just
table,
took over, like,
Mexican, yeah, they
just,
Spanish.
They just kicked Spanish the Mexicans out.
Yeah. They're Donald Trump.
they took the cage around the thing and they built it across where the table is. Like, you stay on that side of the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
But
all in all, that, to me, that was the highlight of the match. If you're rewatching WrestleMania this week, make sure to rewatch your Shane McMahon versus Undertaker match. It was awesome. I loved every minute of it. And especially that moment, jumped off of the top of a Hell in a Cell.
That's crazy.
And that dude's not young either. Shane McMahon, he's got to be in his 40s. He is not.
That's pretty
young.
Old to be jumping off of stuff.
Yeah, right?
He essentially jumped off the roof of a house.
Yeah.
I mean, you think, like, you know, a house is about 20, 25 feet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's two stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be taking some hardcore Advil after that match.
Yeah, right?
Probably something stronger than Advil.
He's going to be feeling that for the rest of this week.
Yeah.
But I love WrestleMania.
For crazy moments like that.
Yeah. See, that should have been in... Something like that should have been in the no disqualification match between Brock Lesnar and...
Well, maybe that's why they didn't, because they knew they were going to have that moment in the Hell in the Cell. You can't just have... Every match can't end with a guy jumping through a table from 20 feet up.
Why not?
Because there would be no wrestlers left, Rich.
Why not?
If you were the commissioner, what do they call him? The commissioner, the president?
That's a good question. Yeah, they go back and forth between the terms. They've called them general managers. They've called them commissioners. They've called them owners. Yeah.
Well, if you were the dude in charge, all your wrestlers would be dead. You're
no.
Like, look, we're going to build the cage even bigger, and you're going to jump off of it into a pit of
snakes.
Flaming snakes.
Yep.
Wrapped in barbed wire.
Good luck.
Good luck. Can I get a pay raise? No. You push them off the top. I was like, this isn't even a match. This is just like rehearsal. You're just having fun.
But everyone gets, well, half of the staff gets a wrestling belt. I like wrestling belts.
Half the staff?
Yeah.
Your wrestling league is just insane. Everybody's just walking. They're a champion of something.
Yeah.
And they're getting pushed off of two-story tall
cages. Championship
cages.
Belts are awesome.
But you can't give them to everyone because then it devalues the championship.
I wish
belt.
Villanova, instead of getting like a trophy for the national championship, I wish Villanova would actually get like a championship belt.
All the players get like a giant belt.
Yeah.
And then wear it to class like the next day.
Yeah. And then you get to wear it to class.
They're like,
you know, oh,
hey, Mr. Professor.
Oh, excuse me. I just won the, university, a freaking national championship over here.
I didn't do my homework because I was so tired from carrying this huge championship belt.
Yeah. Dude, if I had a championship belt, I'd carry that everywhere. It'd be awesome.
You would.
I would. I totally would.
You totally would.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that you would wear it like every single day.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you're doing, where you're going, championship belt.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't wear it. I would just carry
it all
the
time.
You just carry. Yep. It just looks cool to
carry. Wouldn't you want to wear it because that way you keep both hands free?
No. That's why it's cool because it's over your shoulder and you can like have like a strut when you walk with it.
You have a strut?
Yeah. It's a cool strut.
A cool strut.
Yeah. Bottom line is, if you want to see it happen, someone give me a championship belt. I'll walk around all
I'm
day.
I'm surprised
with it.
You don't have one.
Well, they're good ones are really expensive.
Oh,
yeah. No, I'm not talking about stupid foam one that you can get.
Oh, you mean like a legit?
No, I'm
one.
Talking about a legit one. Like, yeah, I would carry that sucker everywhere. Ooh, what's this? Ooh, yeah, it's my championship belt, baby. What's up?
Well, he's just talking to people on the street. Like, why, good sir? Why do you have a giant gold belt? Because I'm a champion,
bro. Yes, I'm a champion of something.
Champion of something. I'm a champion of having championship belts.
I did something.
Huzzah.
Huzzah, yeah.
There you go. You got to get your championship belt at some point.
At some point, maybe one day I'll win something. But there you go. WrestleMania happened over the weekend. And for the most part, it was fun to watch. But there were some highs and lows. Check it out for yourself. And let me know what you think. Send me a tweet at Rich Liebig. Sure, why not? But now it's time to get to our next portion of the show where Mike lets you know everything that you need to know in TVs, movies, and video games for this week. It's time for This Week in Entertainment. Yeah, there you go. Let's make the President of the United States wear a championship belt.
Why not?
That would
be cool. Instead of winning the election, you got a championship belt.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that's brilliant.
That's what Trump's going to do.
I mean, it would not surprise me at all. Would not surprise me at all.
What kind of belt? The best belt.
The best belt. The greatest belt. The biggest belt.
I know belt designers all over the world, okay? and they're going to make me the best belt.
The best belts. Oh, so anyway, belts aside, we have some stuff to get to in This Week in Entertainment. First up, if you're heading to the movies, check this one out, a new Melissa McCarthy film, The Boss, new comedy starring Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Bell, and Peter Dinklage, otherwise known as Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones. I can't talk right now. The movie is about a titan of industry who's sent to prison after she's caught for insider trading. When she emerges ready to rebrand herself as America's latest sweetheart, not everyone she screwed over is so quick to forgive and forget. So it starts Melissa McCarthy, a classic, larger-than-life character. It looks like, you can't really go wrong with Melissa McCarthy. She's a very, very funny lady, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
So, if you're looking
be in the Ghostbusters reboot?
Yeah, of course. She's got a big year this year, so maybe The Boss is one to check out. If you're looking for something in video games, keep this in mind, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. So make sure you go get your free games. But in other video game news, there is a new release, not a free game, called Quantum Break on Xbox One. This one looks really interesting. It's got a 78 on Metacritic, but I love the concept here. It's a third-person action shooter and TV crossover. What does that mean? The gameplay is split between playing as the protagonist, who has time manipulating powers, and then in between each section of gameplay you watch an episode of, I think it's a live action TV show, from the antagonist's point of view, in which the player makes decisions that will then affect the gameplay segments. It's a really strange, unique concept, a different way of doing gameplay in this next generation game. So if you have an Xbox One exclusive, go check out Quantum Break. And finally, in TV, we have a big one here. Fear the Walking Dead Season 2 premieres Sunday on AMC. This is going to be big. It's a full season. You know, the first season had a short 6-episode span. This is a full 15 episodes. We last left them. They were getting ready to set sail. They were like, they found like a guy with a boat. So I don't know how this season is going to play out. Are they going to be like hopping from location to location, trying to find a place to make a little
safe zone
or something? I don't know. Are they going to go to an island? I have no idea. But it looks like it could be very interesting. That's Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
Cluck went the chicken. And that's how they do it on Broadway.
Yep. Every time we have to talk about The Walking Dead, we have to play that clip.
Of course. Labibbidabibbidum.
Yes. Bad lip reading.
Classic Walking Dead theme.
But we actually are going to talk about The Walking Dead because their last episode of season 6 has caused much criticism throughout the fan base. Where do you want to start with this?
Before we get started, let's give a spoiler warning. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the season 6 finale of The Walking Dead. If you have not watched the season finale, just fast forward.
We teased it. I mean, hopefully by now you watched it.
We don't know.
All right. Well, you know what? Should I play the spoiler music?
Let's do it. Spoiler music away. It's a spoiler. It's a spoiler. Don't listen. Go away. I forgot that we had recorded like special spoiler music.
Yeah, you forgot about that one.
Yeah. It's a spoiler. It's a spoiler. Don't listen. Go away.
Yep.
Oh,
that's our spoiler sound effect.
There you go. So we are officially in spoiler territory. Let's dive into it. The season 6 finale.
Yeah.
How should we start? Should we start by giving our... You want to give it like a numeric score off the bat? Or do you just want to talk about it?
Numeric score, I'd say a 7 out of
7?
10.
I'd say that's pretty... It's pretty favorable.
Yeah.
I'd give it about the same, like a 6.5.
Yep.
7, maybe.
All right. Let's go into... How about this? How about we go into what we liked?
Okay. Yeah, let's do what we liked, because I feel like there's going to be more of the negative column.
Yeah.
So let's get the positives out of the way. I liked the concept of the episode. I liked, the idea that they were journeying to try and get Maggie to a doctor, and around every turn, there seemed to be danger. There seemed to be somebody stopping them, because it really showed the full extent of Negan's group and Negan's power.
This isn't just a rinky-dink army.
No, this is not another Rick. This is not another, even the governor. You know, this guy is something much bigger. And I think that was an effective way of showing that. And it really kept you on the edge of your seat and really, like, built up the dread inside of you. That's one of the positives that I took away from the episode. What about you? What was something you enjoyed?
Number one, I thought it was great that Steven Hodge, the actor from Grand Theft Auto 5, who plays Trevor, was
that him?
Yep, that was him.
I was like, this guy seems really familiar.
Yep, it was him. It was Trevor.
Wow.
From Grand Theft Auto 5. Yep. So
he was the weird guy at the first roadblock,
yep,
right?
Yeah, that's right. The one Rick tells this might be your last day on Earth.
Right. Right.
Yep. I think he fits perfectly into The Walking Dead.
He did a very good job.
Yep. And then the second thing I have to give props for is Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan. Man, I love him.
He did a great job.
I thought he was going to do a great job, and he did. He hit it out of the park. I loved him as the comedian in Watchmen, and I love him even more as Negan. I can't wait to see more of him.
He had a great reveal. His monologue was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
He has that right combination of cockiness
humor,
charisma, and evil, and
yeah.
Oh.
It was like he had this like humorous slant, like not humorous, but like
to him humorous,
yeah. But a more like laid back comical tone, but it was all very like
dark
and intimidating. Yeah. So those were the big takeaways. The two new introductions to the cast were fantastic.
Yep.
I really like the concept of the show. That's the whole list.
Yep.
In terms of positives. Is there anything else you want to add to the list?
No, I think it's time to get to this part.
Anybody moves, anybody says anything, cut the boy's other eye out and feed it to his father, and then we'll start. You can breathe. You can blink. You can cry. Hell, you're all going to be doing that.
Taking it like
a champ. So, wow, the final scene of the episode.
Yeah, and you know what? Even if you didn't see it, yeah, we're not spoiling anything because we have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
Who he killed.
to put it simply, I think the writers and the showrunners screwed up royally.
Yeah.
That's just my takeaway. Maybe this, some people like that cliffhanger.
No, this did not need to be a cliffhanger.
No, it didn't.
No.
This is a blatant way of saying we have 12 million viewers on the hook, and we want to make sure we have 12 million viewers on the hook for the premiere of season 7.
Yeah.
So we're going to tease you, and then we're going to leave you hanging.
Yeah.
It is arrogance on their part, I think, to do something like that. I mean, I'm on the verge of saying, screw it. You know, I don't even want to tune in next season the way they're jerking people around.
Well,
I will, because I'm weak and I want to watch The Walking Dead. But this really ticked me off.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with this isn't just it's the cliffhanger, but it's the fact that the whole season, the whole half season has been promoting the fact that they were going to kill off somebody.
Yeah.
So it's now...
The last 8 episodes were banking on this one scene.
Yeah. And now you've just postponed what you were teasing for the last 8 weeks for another 6 months.
I saw something funny on Reddit where somebody predicted the first 8 episodes of season 7. They're like, episode 1 is a flash forward that shows the repercussions. Episode 2 and 3 are flashbacks showing Negan's origins. Episode 4 is, you know, it goes on as... Episode 8 finally reveals who gets killed.
Oh,
I would, I literally would not be surprised.
Yeah, if that happens.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Would you?
No, I hope not.
I hope not. But the way this person laid it on Reddit, I was like, oh my God, that sounds eerily possible.
Well, how about we get to this, make it more interesting. Who do you think got killed?
You can't ask me that question because I know who dies in the comic book.
But that does not mean that's what's going to happen on the TV show.
True.
It does not.
True. It does not.
No.
Who do I think died? It's a tough question for me to answer, though.
They've said specifically on multiple times that what happens in the comics doesn't necessarily dictate what happens on the TV show.
Right.
I mean, look at Shane. Shane was supposed to die in the first episode, right?
Yeah, he was supposed to die very early on, and he hung on for like
two full seasons.
Which I think was... I mean, smart in some ways. I thought he was a good foil for Rick. But, so...
So you can't necessarily just assume...
Right. So who do I think is going to die? I think they're telegraphing that it's going to be Eugene.
You think it's going to be Eugene?
That whole episode, I think they were telegraphing it by having his little farewell, by having him give Rick the recipe for the bullets, by doing the last heroic act. I feel like... If it is Eugene, it's going to be a really big letdown.
Yeah, I think Eugene, that's kind of a cop-out.
But that's what they're... it could be a red herring, but here's the thing. If it's not Eugene, then it's like, well, why did you have the tearful goodbye? Why did you have him give the recipe to Rick? Why did you have him do any of this stuff if you're not going to kill him? If he's just going to hang around more? You know, it sort of lessens the impact of those. From an expendability point of view, Daryl is not in the comics at all. He is completely expendable.
No.
and it would devastate fans. It would be a reason why they wouldn't show it in the season 6 finale. Because if they did that, then people would stop watching. If they do it at the beginning of season 7, at least they get one more season out of them. Another possible candidate, Abraham. He's a safe character to kill. He just started a relationship with Sasha. So it's like, oh, we can kill him. It'll be sad, but not devastating. Then again, Maggie's on the verge of death. Easy one to pick off. Glenn had his little outburst, so that would give Negan a reason. The only people that are really safe, I think, are Rick, Carl, and Michonne. Because one, Rick is the main character. Two, Carl, I don't see him going anywhere. And Michonne is so closely tied to Rick, both in the comics and the show, that she's almost... And not only that, but she had no point in this last episode. So it wouldn't make sense to kill off somebody that wasn't even in the episode. So that's my breakdown. I guess my answer is literally anybody but those three characters. And Sasha. Sasha has no reason to die either.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think it's Glenn.
You think it's Glenn?
Yeah. I think that's the one that makes the most sense. I mean... Because when Glenn had the whole dumpster thing,
yeah,
like I think that was a test run.
That was the last of his 9 lives.
Yeah, like I think that was like a test run as to how the audience would react. And yeah, right. You said it better. Yeah, that was the last of his 9 lives. There's no way you can escape another chance with death.
Glenn definitely makes sense because they very clearly they had his outburst, you know, in that scene where he like lashes out.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for Negan to want to prove something to the group and just bludgeon him to death. Also, it makes it really sad for the whole Maggie pregnancy angle.
Right.
You know, they want to tease out those emotions. He's one of the big bankable stars, though, of the show. So you wonder, are they going to get rid of an A-lister? They've kind of shied away from getting rid of A-listers.
Yeah.
You know, they've had a few. They got rid of the governor. He was really big. They got rid of Herschel. He was really big, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So they haven't completely shied away from it. It's a little riskier to do it, though. But Glenn's a good choice, I think.
Yeah.
I think the way they set it up, they intentionally left it so that it could be any one of them, which is smart for a marketing point of view, you know, to keep people hanging on.
I just think it's sad that Jeffrey Dean Morgan had just a great performance and... What's going to be remembered is just all the outcry of criticism.
Yeah,
it
really sucks. And what annoys me is that I can picture the producers, not necessarily the writers, but the producers and the showrunners being like, "Oh, this is so clever. We're going to do
AMC.
It. Yeah, AMC. We're going to do it first person shot. Yeah. It's going to be really mysterious."
I think this was a decision from AMC. Not
you know what this reminds me
writers.
Of. You know what this reminds me of? The Mass Effect 3 ending. Seriously, where they were so full of themselves, oh, it's going to be so ambiguous, it's going to be open for discussion, and then everybody sees it, and they're like, you literally are Hitler.
You messed up. You done goofed.
You done goofed, son. because that's the way, and you know, it's not just that scene. The whole episode felt off. It was 90 minutes long. You had the weird Carol subplot. What is going on there?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Morgan is undermining his values, and he decides to kill somebody. Carol, on the other hand, is like, first of all, I thought she went way too far to the side of lunatic, and now she went like all the way back to the other side.
Yeah, she's really manic, depressive or something.
And I mean, it makes sense, but also it doesn't play well on camera, you know? The whole episode was a mess, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And like the few bright spots were the trek to try to get to the hilltop. The creepy whistling gang of saviors, and the two new performances.
Yeah.
Those were the highlights. The other, like, 70 minutes was like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Also, why does Rick leave the town with absolutely no one there?
Yeah, that seems like a little bad.
The priest is their best fighter back at Alexandria.
If this was a board... If this was... what's that board game we played? The
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. Yeah, if we played Zombie Apocalypse, that would be a horrible way to play the game. We'd all lose.
Oh, definitely. Can't leave the weird priest behind. He already tried to run away and betray the group once.
Yeah.
Now Rick is leaving his kid with him. It's just... The whole episode was just a disaster, yeah. I think. Now that I'm talking about it more, I'm thinking like 6.5 is a little lenient.
Well,
leaning more towards the 6 now.
I just hope they continue to focus more on Negan, because I love this character. I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan as him. Oh. keep it going with him.
Where? So I want to get into a little bit of speculation. Where do you see season 7 going?
Negan. It's going to be all Negan.
Is it going to be another like Terminus? Like they're trapped? How do they get out of this?
Well, so here's the thing with Negan. Negan realizes that you don't want him dead.
Right.
You want him to work for
you. So you think he lets them go?
Oh, yeah. I think he lets them go.
I think that would be fascinating.
And I think, first off, you're going to kill whoever the hell he's going to bludgeon to death.
Of course.
And he's going to say, hey, guess what? You know, if you don't work for me, guess what? You're next.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because it's clear that he has the power, both in terms of manpower and weapons.
Yeah.
So he can let them go and not worry about it.
Right.
Because
he wants them to work for him.
Yeah. So I think this will be... I wonder what Rick and his group are going to do in response to that. Do they start drawing up battle plans? But they don't have nearly enough power.
Yeah.
I think
this is a force that you're not going to be able to take on head to head.
I think one of the key factors in season 7 is going to be whoever saved Morgan and Carol. Those two people with the body armor and the spears.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's that random.
There was like a really small tease there. I feel like they're going to find another group that has as much manpower as... That's the only way I can see Rick's group getting out of this, by allying with other groups, which I think would be fascinating because it's always been Rick against the prison, Rick against the governor, Rick against Alexandria, Rick against et cetera, et cetera. It's never been Rick allying with somebody to take down somebody else.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be interesting if Rick allies with the Hilltop, Rick allies with these body armor horse dudes, and that they make a coalition against Negan. Like in my vision of the apocalypse, that would be really interesting. Like they form like an alliance. And then what does that look like? I don't know. Just something to think about. AMC writers, hit me up. Because you definitely need help. There's no way you pull that punch at the end. That is insane.
But no, see, my thing is, it probably wasn't the writers. That was probably
AMC. It was definitely AMC.
So
no, I feel bad for the writers because they probably had a much better idea for that finale.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yep.
Here's the final question. Do you see the Fear of the Walking Dead taking the Walking Dead's place?
No. The Walking Dead is still the mainstay show, but Fear the Walking Dead is very good.
People are grumbling, though.
No, not yet.
No? Uh-uh. All right.
No.
We'll see.
But, hey, there's still Fear the Walking Dead to come, and then after that, Walking Dead will come back on in October, so it's year-round
Walking
Dead.
12 months of the year.
That's right. So it's still all good as far as
I'm
concerned.
Good. I love zombies.
Yeah. But there you go. That'll conclude the entertainment entree for now. But we still have one segment left. The odd news is coming up. You know, that stuff's going to get crazy, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A California woman who was recently rescued from a forest with her newborn baby after a 3-day ordeal, saying that she gave birth, fought off bees, and started a wildfire, is doing okay.
Yeah, I need to know the order of events here.
NBC reports that 35-year-old Amber Pangborn was driving to her parents' home when she felt like she might go into labor. So instead of taking the main roads, which she thought would be blocked due to traffic, she took a back road through a remote part of Plumas County National Forest. Pangborn said that that's when she ran out of gas in her car. While she was stranded, she did go into labor and gave birth to her daughter. After she gave birth to her daughter, that's when she wandered further into the woods and came across a beehive that was trying to sting her.
I'm stranded in the middle of a national forest. I know. I'll head straight into the heart of it.
Yeah.
Away from civilization. Why didn't she walk backwards? it doesn't make any sense. Or stay with the car.
So she moves further into the forest, and she grabs her hairspray and her lighter and started a brush fire.
Why is everything to the extreme? Get stranded in the woods, go in further. Come across a beehive, fight them off. Need to start a fire to stay warm? Make a flamethrower.
Pangborn said that was when I looked at my baby Marissa and was like, I think mommy just started a forest fire.
You know, like, this is, look, honey, that's the forest fire mommy set. Just have this image of this woman standing there holding a baby, just staring out at this flaming mountain. Yep. It's like the final scene in a really crappy B-movie action drama.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, you know, it's Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start a fire.
What a subtitle!
Rosamund Pike, man. You can't believe the crap she's going to be up to in this movie.
I know. It's wild.
They're going to have like, the narration. I made sure that there was no gas in my car.
Yeah.
Then I made sure I had the perfect traffic alibi. I left at 5 o'clock during rush hour.
I waited 9 months just to give birth on the way there.
Everybody feels sorry for a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
That's when I took out my hairspray and my lighter.
To make it seem like I was running from something, I sprayed myself with bee pheromones so that they would chase me further into the woods.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
That's right, especially rolling.
Yep.
Rolling right along.
That is right. We've had a lot of topics to deal with, college basketball, golf, Walking Dead,
zombies,
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Wow, it's just a lot of topics to get to in this episode.
That's right.
But now it's time for, I think, a mainstay here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast that is well adored and loved by everyone. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It is one of my favorite segments. It's the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Zeke? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Yeah, time for the odd news.
That scream gets me every time, I swear.
Yeah. That is just crazy, so primal.
Crazy. It really is. Like this like primal, like visceral, angry scream. It's amazing. But that's just the sort of emotion that these odd news stories bring out in everybody. For those of you that might not be familiar with this segment, in the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news. He reads the news and I react to the news. I've never heard these stories before. He prints them out and keeps them hidden from me. So all my reactions are my gut reactions, my genuine reactions to my first time hearing these stories. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I always have such a blast with these crazy, nonsensical, outlandish, insane people. You know, they just weird, do weird stuff. So I'm ready to dive in.
That's a pretty good explanation of this segment.
Yeah. Weird people doing weird things. Usually involving butts. First story, somebody sticks something up his butt.
Close, but no.
Really? No.
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
So what do you got for us?
All right, here's our first story here. And this one is just funny to imagine as far as I'm concerned. A Las Vegas divorced couple who couldn't agree on how to split up their Beanie Baby collection was officially ordered by a judge last Friday to divvy up the babies one by one in a courtroom procedure. Yes.
Order! Order in the court! We're here to hear the case of Bob versus Jill in the Beanie Baby split.
So the first one was Maple the Bear.
I don't Not know. Maple. Oh, my God. They should do like I don't know the name of the story, but the judge offers to cut the thing in half, and the person that would really? Rather give it up. Well, what's the name of that?
I know what you're talking. It's a Bible story.
Yeah, it's a Bible story. They offer to cut a baby in half,
and the parent that would rather see it live or something.
Right, the parent that is willing to give it up is the true owner because they would rather see the baby live than be cut in half.
Yeah.
So they should do that. Offer to cut all the Beanie Babies in half and sew them back together. You just have this weird, like, group of, like, half Beanie Babies.
Family Court Judge Gerald Hardcastle.
Wow.
Yeah, that's his real name.
Hardcastle.
Yep, Gerald. Gerald Hardcastle.
This is what our tax dollars are going towards.
Yeah.
A guy named Hardcastle sitting there and watching two grown adults split up Beanie Babies.
Yep.
Newsflash, it's 2016, not 1996.
He said that, quote, this isn't about toys, this is about control. Because you
that is
folks,
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Because you folks can't solve this problem, it takes the services now of a district court judge, a bailiff, and a court reporter. Francis Mountain.
Come on. No, these names are made up. These names are Hardcastle, Mountain. What's the next? Jessica Frog in a Pond or something stupid like that?
Francis Mountain said that, quote, I don't agree with the judge's decision to do this. This is ridiculous and embarrassing.
Well, then why didn't you
take care of this beforehand?
Split up the Beanie Babies then.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed that I need a judge to help me split up my Beanie Babies. Okay.
Then do it.
Balls
on
your
own.
Court, buddy.
Right.
Oh my God, this is infuriating. This is literally infuriating, Rich.
Yeah. that's when Francis and Harold had to get to the table and decide to choose first from a pile of stuffed toys that were the Beanie Babies.
According, I feel bad for the Beanie Baby that's chose last.
Yeah. They divorced 4 months ago. And according to their divorce decree, the parties were supposed to divide their Beanie Baby collection on their own. But they failed to split up the toys among themselves. Afterwards, that's when Harold decided to file a motion to get his fair share of the toys. The collection is actually pretty big and is estimated to go between $2,500 and $5,000.
No, it doesn't.
That's what
they're not
they
worth
say.
Anything.
That's what they say in the police
report. Oh, that's BS.
In the court report.
Oh, come on.
No, no, no.
I have a ton of Beanie Babies downstairs in the basement.
You could have helped them out.
Somebody told me they were going to be valuable. They're sitting in an old dresser. Just sitting there.
Collecting
dust.
Maybe you could help them out and give them your collection.
Maybe. If they pay me for it, I'd be happy to.
Maybe
that's insane.
Is it one of those things where if you have, like, the whole set, it's worth more?
No, because I don't think there was a whole set. I think they just kept churning out Beanie Babies.
Yeah, I don't even...
They had, like, special edition Beanie Babies. Like I had, like, a military one I remember having. But, like, back in the 90s, they, like, came up with stories like, oh, this one's really rare because it's... They only made so many monkeys or they only made so many parrots. Like, I had one that was, like, a parrot. It's like, oh, they only had... one production run of this, so this is going to be... It's not rare. Shut up. And people were like, don't tear off the tags and put it in a bag. I'm like 9 years old. I'm like, I want to play with my stuffed animal. I'm not going to put it in a bag. Are you insane? Did you have Beanie Babies, Rich?
I don't remember. I don't think
Everybody,
so.
Everybody, don't lie. Everybody
if
had
I did,
Beanie Babies.
If I did, I probably got it for free at like McDonald's.
Everybody had Beanie Babies, Rich. Don't try and lie.
I had Pokemon. I remember that.
Pokemon was huge.
Yeah. And I had, like, the
Why
stuffed
they
animals
do
of Pokemon.
Pokemon Beanie Babies.
No, they had stuffed animals of Pokemon.
But not
I
Beanie
had
Babies.
That.
Beanie Babies were different. They had beans in them, Rich.
Really?
No.
No, see, I don't
they,
know.
Like, they had, like,
I
little,
have no idea
they had,
what
like,
you're
little pebbles. You never had, like a bean bag thing? Like, a really loose bean bag?
Yeah.
It's, like, shaped like an animal.
So that's
Same
what the
concept.
Beanie Baby was?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had a tag on it, and each Beanie Baby had a name. Like, if you had a cat, its name was, like, Whiskers or something. It had, like, a little story, like, Whiskers loves to play with yarn. And it had, like, a birth date. And the thing was, like, you were supposed to try and find the Beanie Baby that, like, that had like the same birth month or birth like close to your birthday. And
really?
Yeah, and I had one that was close to my birthday. It was a monkey or a parrot or something.
Yeah. Was it supposed to be like astrology or something? Was it supposed to let you know?
I have no idea. There's a toy that with a made up birthday.
Well, not to these guys.
I have a bag filled with like 20 of them.
These guys have a huge collection here, and they're splitting
$2,500. That's insane.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, that's according to their lawyer, so they're probably amping that up just so the judge will do something about it.
Of course. Did they really need a judge to step in and split up the Beanie Babies?
Apparently, because these two can't agree on anything.
It was a match made in heaven, apparently.
Yeah.
Obviously, right?
Yeah.
I think it's really weird that, like, one Beanie Baby aficionado met another Beanie Baby aficionado.
And they pulled their resources together, had this extensive collection, and things didn't work out.
So, do you think they'd been married since Beanie Babies, or do you think this was, like, a more recent wedding, marriage?
I don't know. Maybe they got together because of their Beanie Baby addiction.
I'm thinking, like, were they married in the 90s, or did they get married, like, a couple years ago, and they're just, like, creepy people that still have Beanie Babies? No offense to people that still have Beanie Babies. Like, mine are in storage, so they don't count.
Maybe one day you will meet a nice girl that also has Beanie Babies in her garage.
No
and
thanks.
Then
That's
you
all
two
right.
can have Beanie Baby collections.
Awkward.
I don't know what the hell you do with this stuff.
They were supposed to be valuable at one point. They're just toys. They're just stuffed animals. And like they're in storage, and it's like there's no reason. Like, I don't know. They're just there. I haven't looked at it in like 15 years. So I think it's weird that it's like still a thing. Like,
yeah, these two guys, man.
Like, hung up on Beanie Babies.
This couple, they want their Beanie Baby.
It
kind
of makes me want to like fish them out of storage and see what I have.
Yeah, you never.
Because I don't remember.
Maybe
like,
the lawyer isn't exaggerating that much.
I don't know. Maybe they are valuable.
He says $2,500 according to the.
Don't believe
he
it.
He probably is exaggerating that.
Probably.
Number.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like 100 or something.
I don't know. I might want to research it.
Yeah. Give it a shot.
Yeah, why not? There you go, Beanie Babies. Go figure. The court has to step in. That's insane. That's our tax dollars right there.
Yep.
There's like some serious case that needs to be tried. Like, oh no,
we have to handle.
Beanie Babies. All right.
All right. This is we got to get to this.
My God, you said he had how many Beanie Babies? 70. The most anticlimactic episode of Law and Order ever.
It's got to be more than that for a collection that's worth $2,500.
How much?
It's got to be like 200, at least 200 of them.
You think 200?
Yeah.
I'm going to look up how many Beanie Babies are worth. I found a list. 15 most valuable Beanie Babies. Should I say some of them?
Sure.
There's a unicorn called Mystic. Holy crap.
What?
If you have this unicorn that has a brown horn, it's worth $1,800 to
$3,000. Whoa!
There's a chef.
There you go. See? Maybe this lawyer is in line.
Oh, my God. Oh, I really hope. There's a number one bear. It has a bear with a number one on it. There were 250 made. It's worth $1,500 to $2,000.
There you go. This lawyer's not lying. Maybe it is worth $2,500.
Wow. That is insane. That is ridiculous. There's a camel worth $1,200. I'm sorry. I'm like researching Beanie Babies now. But yeah, I mean, maybe there's some truth to this. That's just really odd to me. Go figure.
All right, let's move on to our next story here.
All right.
Going to Missouri in this one. A burglar at a Missouri comic book shop took the time to steal Kiss action figures, but neglected to double check that he hadn't left his cell phone at the scene of the crime.
Why did he have his cell phone out? He's like, I'm going to rob this place. I'm going to take my phone out and put it down and leave it there.
Or, you know, maybe he was in the middle of stealing and then he decided to take a selfie.
But first, let me take a selfie.
I mean, why else would you take a cell phone at that time?
I mean, take a selfie when you're done, maybe? I guess you wanted to be like, oh, I'm in the store, I'm robbing it.
I'm so
selfie,
cool.
Selfie. I imagine that's what people do when they break into places and take selfies. They say selfie, selfie.
Jason Hughes and Brandon Williams, who are the owners of All the Rage Comics, said that a burglar broke through the business's back door Tuesday morning and made off with a laptop, a cash register, $35 in cash, two Kiss action figures, and a Charizard Pokemon card.
Those bastards!
Oh my god! Not the Charizard one! How dare you!
Rich, they're worth up to $60 nowadays.
Yeah.
That is something that have retained its value.
Oh my god.
I can't believe it.
Those bastards!
You guys know, I mean, people that have listened to the podcast know that I'm like legit, like Charizard was my favorite Pokemon. If anybody has a Charizard card, by the way, send it to me. I'm just throwing that out there randomly.
Well, however, the thief decided to leave a couple of clues behind.
A cell phone. That's a pretty big clue.
Yep. A pack of his favorite cigarettes next to his cell phone.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Was he like, oh, I have to stick so many Pokemon cards in my pockets, I need to take stuff out to make room? And then he forgot to put it back in? I don't know what the reason is.
When police were investigating, the cell phone actually rang.
Nice.
It lit up because it was face up. When it stopped ringing and went to the lock screen, which showed a man's face on it, which was Jason Hughes.
Don't make your face your background.
Yeah.
Come on. That's I don't know. If you're going to rob a place...
Who is egotistical enough to have their own face?
Every time they look at their phone, hey,
I'm
gorgeous.
The best.
I'm the best.
Look at me.
Hey, handsome, what are you doing down there? like, why?
Hey, me, get me my news.
Get me my news. So does he just take his phone out and talk to it?
You're my
only friend. Oh, God.
Why else would you have your own face on your phone as your wallpaper?
I don't know. I don't think a face would make a good wallpaper.
Yeah.
You know, there's like cooler designs and like pictures out there, you know? That's just me. But, I mean, God, you have to be stupid. You have to be like a special type of stupid to leave your cell phone at a crime.
Yeah, and then not only that, but the background is actually your face.
Why don't you just put your driver's license as your background? Or like your address or something at that point.
Well, the suspect was immediately identified and then located, and the stolen merchandise was recovered.
That's good.
So, yeah. That didn't last very long.
I would have been really upset if the Charizard card hadn't been returned.
Yes. The Charizard card is back to its proper place.
That's the most important thing.
It's all good.
I'm serious. That's probably the most valuable thing they took there. Well, the laptop, maybe. Because they only took $35 in cash.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. You break into a place... and you risk all this for $35. It just it doesn't seem like a good enough return, you know?
All right, let's get to our next story here. We're going to Vermont.
Okay.
Vermont State Police said that a man found with drug paraphernalia in his car during a traffic stop was also concealing bags of heroin up his rectum.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
And there it is.
Yep, there it is.
The butt story.
Investigators said that 41-year-old Fernando Estrella was pulled over at 1 in the morning on Tuesday for speeding through a stop sign. A drug-sniffing canine alerted officers to Estrella's seat, but they only found a needle and a cap, but no drugs. Estrella was then detained, where he was then given a body cavity search, where they found 3 condoms up his butt containing 1,428 bags of heroin.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
That's a lot.
Yes. How are you walking?
How far did he put them up his butt? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just seems like an anatomically not possible. It just seems like a lot, like a huge amount.
1,428 bags.
I guess they're tiny bags, but that's still a lot of bags.
Yeah. Well, at least they're easily able to be sold, you know, immediately for consumer use, you know. I got ready to go.
Like he's a vending machine?
Yeah.
I would like three heroin, please.
Instead of pushing a button, you pull on his willy as it like shoots out.
Boom,
boom, boom, yeah. Makes the vending machine noises. Does he? If you like jab him at different parts, do you get like a different amount of bags, or like
it's, it's like a slot machine.
Got to pull the lever.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
A human vending machine. Is it just, what was it, heroin?
Yeah.
He doesn't give you anything else? No coke?
Nope, just heroin.
Oh, that's a shame.
Police said that he admitted that the heroin was from New York and that he was going to sell it in Vermont. He was then arrested on charges of felony heroin possession, heroin trafficking, and heroin importation. He was also found to be in violation of the terms of his release from a 2015 cocaine arrest. So he's definitely going to jail.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. He's been in trouble for drugs before.
Yeah, he's definitely going to jail on that one. But yeah, sure, he could have been a vending machine. Wasted potential.
instead of like the Coke machine and the chips, you just have a guy, just a butt attached to a wall. It's like, I don't know, where does the money go?
It was in his pocket.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You put money in his pocket and you hold your hand out.
Yeah, just
boom. And you catch it. Thanks,
he's
sir.
Got it. He's got it.
And you slap him.
Slap him right on the butt. Nice doing business with you.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
If every drug deal just ended with a pat on the butt. Thanks, toots. Slap him. What would a drug dealer do? A drug dealer would be like, how do you react to that? If somebody just says thanks, toots, and slaps you on the butt after you hand them drugs. There's no way to positively react to that.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Wow. All
right. Let's get to our next story here.
Okay.
Two men were arrested Tuesday after a traffic stop led police in Florida to discover an unusual prize inside a package of breakfast cereal. Oh, I forgot. This is Florida. I forgot. It's Florida.
Yeah.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Police said that 19-year-old Efren Zuniga and 24-year-old Jose Moreno had more than 500 grams of cocaine wrapped up in their cereal box.
I love the cocaine. I love the cocaine.
Yeah, he loves the cocaine.
We have a video about this online.
That's right, we do, actually.
I was just watching it today. That's so weird. If you haven't seen it, go to the Crispy Noodle Podcast YouTube channel and look for the I Love Cocaine video. We sing this song.
Yeah.
It's good.
But these guys must really love cocaine to mix it with their cereal.
They put it in their breakfast cereal. Well, you know, some people like to sprinkle sugar.
Yeah.
So why not sprinkle cocaine?
Sure, why not?
You know, it gives you that little something extra you need in the morning.
Boy, you're really energetic today, Bob, aren't you?
Oh, it's all the...
I have three bowls of cereal!
I have cereal! Oh, my God!
Authorities said that they had help from a canine who sniffed out the breakfast of convicted champions after the suspects...
The breakfast of convicted champions.
Yep. After Amazing. The suspects were pulled over for a faulty equipment violation. When deputies opened the cereal box, they discovered approximately 514 grams of powdered cocaine, which has a street value of $15,000. Yeah, this is
That's worth $15,000. You said $15,000, right?
Yeah, $15,000.
That's a good chunk of change right there.
I think that's appropriate. Police also found that Zuniga had more cocaine in his pocket. He had it everywhere, apparently.
Man, they really love the cocaine.
Yep,
just had it everywhere.
It was a box of Honey Grams, just in case you're wondering. Okay.
Yeah, they're decent. I would have preferred something like Reese's Puffs. What's your favorite type of cereal?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That would be delicious with cocaine. What's the best cereal to have with cocaine? Wait, we need to analyze this. What's the best cereal that you could actually put cocaine with?
I mean, I don't know what cocaine...
Maybe like Rice Krispies?
Why?
Because it makes the crispy
snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah, it makes the snap, crackle, pop.
Cocaine.
And then you have cocaine. Snap, crackle, cocaine.
Snap, crackle, cocaine.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's a brilliant marketing
campaign. That's like the adult version of the cereal. Yeah. Snap, crackle, cocaine. It's amazing.
That'll wake you up in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That just blew anything I have out of the water. Snap, crackle, cocaine.
Hashtag snap, crackle, cocaine.
Oh, wow.
Zuniga and Moreno have been charged with cocaine trafficking, and they are being held in the county jail on a bond of $150,000. So they're going to need to sell a lot more cereal boxes to pay that off.
Yeah. Or contact General Mills and be like, we got a great idea for you guys.
Yeah, you might want to invest in this.
Is Rice Krispies General Mills or Kellogg's?
I have no idea. I just buy the cereal and put drugs in them.
That's this is so nonchalant. Yeah, sprinkle drugs on my cereal. You know what? You know what's sad though is people probably do that for real.
That's a good way to enjoy your drug of choice.
Start your breakfast. Start your day off right with a little bit of drugs in your cereal.
Yes.
Delicious.
Brought to you by Kellogg's.
Part of your nutritious, balanced breakfast.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
Another Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
This one is just funny to imagine. So, it's quick. It's a quick story, but just imagine this happening. West Melbourne, Florida police had to arrest a man who they say was under the influence of alcohol when he decided to take a fire extinguisher off of a wall and spray random people with it.
Sure, why not? I mean, at least he's not hurting anybody, right? Unless the fire extinguisher has like some type of chemical that could hurt people. Then that's bad.
Roberto Ramos was charged with disorderly intoxication, criminal mischief, and theft of a fire extinguisher.
That's a crime?
Apparently it is. Yeah, if you steal a fire extinguisher.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's a fire hazard.
If you take one?
Yeah. What happens if you take one and then, like, the next day there's a fire?
That's a good point. I never thought of that.
That's a crime.
Wow.
Yep.
See that? You learn something every day. Learning more with the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Aww, isn't that so
sweet? The more
sweet?
You know. Don't steal fire extinguishers. So he was just running around spraying people.
Police said that, first off, this happened at an America's Best Value Inn and Suites. Classy. Okay.
Yeah, very classy.
Police said that Ramos got very angry when he was refused another drink at the local bar that they had downstairs. That's when he decided to remove the fire extinguisher from the wall, damage doors, and trying to punch walls in the bar before spraying people with the fire extinguisher and throwing the extinguisher at the bartender.
That's not nice.
No.
That's very, very rude.
Yes. Don't do that.
No.
Be nice to your bartender. Tip them.
But not with a fire extinguisher.
Not with a fire extinguisher.
Here you go, pal. You just like put it, plunk, slam it down on the counter. Not good.
According to the property manager, he did more than $1,500 worth of damage to the hotel.
Ouch.
Yeah. Officers said that a breath analyzer test found that Ramos's blood alcohol level was at 0.192. Which, yeah, that's
not good.
That's more than three times the legal limit because it's 0.06 for a DUI.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's really drunk.
Oh, crazy, crazy people.
Yep.
I love the fire extinguisher, though. He just grabs the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, out of all the things, fire extinguisher.
But at least it wasn't violent. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess he did throw it at somebody.
Yeah, he threw it at a bartender.
So I guess it was still violent. But usually when people get drunk in the odd news, they have, like, machetes or, like, guns. You know, so this is at least not too bad.
Well,
isn't that horrible that I'm like, oh, it's all right. That's fine. It's okay.
Well,
you know?
Well, this one might get a little too bad here.
Uh-oh.
It's also another Florida story.
Of course.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
A 60-year-old woman has been arrested after she allegedly shot her husband. After she alleged he was in an affair.
60-year-old Victoria Reed.
He was in an affair because you keep shooting him.
60-year-old Victoria Reed is accused of shooting her husband, Jim Reed, age 60 as well. She demanded her husband of 16 years sit on the sofa during a talking to in which she said to have accused him of being unfaithful.
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Reed then allegedly pulled out a weapon and taunted her husband with it, threatening to shoot him in the face.
Wow.
Yeah.
0 to 11.
Yeah. She told Mr. Reed that she wanted to hurt him and give him post-traumatic stress disorder.
That is really messed up.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Who says that? I want to give you post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, that's what happens when you have a Florida woman who thinks you cheated on her.
God.
The woman then allegedly...
I want to give you a serious psychological issue.
That's when the woman allegedly got even more angry and then actually pulled the trigger. The bullet hit his left knee, but then ricocheted off of a plate he had in the knee and bounced up into his testicles.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that? He's oh, he must be really pissed.
I don't know if he can't piss. I don't know if that's the correct word you want to use.
Oh, no, I guess not. I guess he's very distressed at this point. This is like the magic bullet.
Yeah.
It hits my knee, it ricochets, goes through my testicles, makes a left turn.
Well, it actually got lodged in there. And he had to be rushed to the hospital an extensive 5-hour surgery was needed for it to be safely removed.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
It's painful just thinking about it.
Yeah. Victoria Reed was then arrested and charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, aggravated domestic violence, false imprisonment, and firing a weapon illegally inside a home.
Well, she's going to get hers.
Wait, I love that last one. Firing a weapon illegally inside a home. When is there a legal time to fire a weapon inside a home?
Self-defense, maybe?
Oh, okay. All right.
But you really shouldn't be firing weapons inside your house.
Yeah, to me that sounds like there's actually a legal time that you can fire a weapon yeah, inside your house.
Between the hours of 3 and 5, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
Like... Self-defense, yes, but I don't think there's any other legal...
Officer, I took this glass bottle out. It wasn't fitting in my kitchen cabinet, so I wanted to destroy it in a fun way. Bang!
The glass bottle wasn't fitting, so I decided to shoot it.
Sure.
Logic.
Yeah.
That's like a few weeks ago, some guy wanted to get rid of a lawnmower, so he packs it with explosives and blows it up.
Yeah.
Sure. Just throw it away.
America.
Why throw something away when you can blow it to smithereens?
That's the American dream right there.
I have a grenade. I know all about
it. There you go. You have a grenade?
Don't forget.
That guy had an exploding lawnmower. I have a gun and a glass I want to get rid of.
There you go. Everybody's got their own way to get rid of trash.
There you go.
Some people throw it out. That's boring. That's like the communist way.
Yeah.
Why would you want to throw trash
That's
out?
That's the collectivist way.
Yeah. Ooh, you don't want to be collectivist.
No.
You want to be
America.
Yeah, that's right. You want to be an entrepreneurial capitalist that finds unique and interesting ways to get rid of their trash.
Like explosions.
Exactly. America. You have to end every sentence with America.
There you go.
Oh, it's very un-American to shoot a dude in the balls, though.
No, that's not cool. Don't do that.
No. It's like an unwritten rule. You don't go for the balls. You don't. It's not cool.
All right, I got one more story for you, and it is another Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, man.
The whole lot of news has been Florida.
Yeah,
so
Florida just...
This is like, what is this, 4 or 5 stories
or something? It must be really hot in Florida last week.
It must have been, yeah. I think that's what it is. It's really hot, and people are going crazy.
Well, here's our last story of the night. A Florida man was tasered and bitten by a canine after he led deputies on a high-speed chase on Saturday. 32-year-old Nicholas Bryan of Baker County, Florida, fled after police arrived at the scene of a reported disturbance at a residence. During the wild ride, Bryam repeatedly tried to strike a police squad car by throwing beer cans out the window.
That'll stop a car.
Ah! Take that!
Were they full or empty?
I think a variety, because it says multiple beer cans. So I guess he had like a 12-pack, and he was just like, nah, throwing them at him.
But were they full? Was he just throwing away beer?
Well, maybe he was drinking a couple and... You know,
I need to throw more sips. I need to throw more cans, but I don't want to sacrifice the beers. Yeah. He's just drinking them and throwing them out.
Right.
You know,
I'm multitasking over here
while driving.
While driving. All right.
That's impressive. He's drinking, throwing cans out the window and driving.
Yes. I'm busy man.
Very busy.
Very busy Florida man.
You make it sound like he scheduled it.
Yes.
Lead police on crazy chase.
Get 12-pack.
Get 12. Is that after you start the chase?
No, that's before.
Oh, okay.
12-pack.
Then start the chase.
Start police chase. Throw beer out window.
There you go. Perfect. That's a full day right there.
At one point, he was clocked going 110 miles per hour in a 45-mile-per-hour zone.
Oh, my God. That's
almost three times the speed limit. Holy shnikes.
He could have gone back in time.
Yeah. His vehicle chase ended when his Jeep lost its left rear tire, sending the vehicle skidding through a ditch and causing it to strike a tree.
Wow.
But even then...
That's so dangerous.
But even then, the suspect still ran.
Of course, at that point, of course you are.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop. You're just going 110 miles an hour throwing beer cans at police officers. You're not just going to give up. You're well beyond that point. This is the part where you're playing GTA where you're like, screw it, I just got to kill everyone.
Keep going. Keep
going.
You just
got to keep going, yeah.
You're at 4 stars, yeah.
Yeah, you can't get away. You just got to kill everyone.
That's when cops deployed a canine, which chased after Bryam. It bit him in the right shoulder and the arm. Bryam tried to control the dog and grab its muzzle with his hands, but that was all the police needed as the cops were able to get him with an electroshock gun. Upon searching his car, they found a huge amount of cannabis. When Bryam was searched in the hospital, a handcuff key was found up his rectum.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Was he planning like an escape?
Yeah. Like... Here's the thing to keep in mind. When did he have the time to shove... the handcuff key up his butt during this whole ordeal. Because he's driving.
I gotta get it up there.
He's driving, then he's running, then he's getting attacked by a canine. So either...
Maybe it was already up there.
Yeah. Either at some point during this crazy ordeal, he found time to stick the handcuff key up his butt, or he had it in the whole day.
Just ready, just in case.
Yeah.
You get ready in the morning, you put on your shirt, before I put on my pants, let me just stick that up there.
Yep, you never know.
You know, it's like you stick your wallet in your pocket, you get your phone, get your key, and you put it up your butt.
Let's get to bashing butts, as well as D's nuts.
It's basically a third pocket.
At this point,
at
yeah.
At this point, yeah.
Your butt is now a pocket.
Guns and drugs and keys. Does he keep his normal keys up there? Like, to start his car, he's got to be like, oh, hold on, guys.
Oh, damn it. I always lose my keys.
He just keeps patting himself down further. Oh, there they are. Just got to, like, wedge his hand up there.
It's like a pickle claw. Right up there.
Right up there. To find his keys, does he, like, shake his butt and he just jingles?
That's how he finds out where his keys are. He jingles. He shakes his butt, and if it jingles,
I know
where they are.
He twerks, and he hears the keys.
There you go.
Can he hit the car clicker with his butt cheeks? If he clenches, beep, beep.
Here, let me unlock the car for you. Boom.
Like, people are like, how did he do that? My ass is magic.
The suspect was charged with...
Idiot, stupid people.
The suspect was charged with reckless driving, battery of a police officer, resisting arrest, drug possession, and concealment. So they got him on the handcuff key.
They call it concealment.
Yeah.
I like that. It's a very proper way to say he had something up his butt.
Yeah, very formal.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
So, wow, there you go. Handcuff key up the butt.
Right up there.
And,
Where were the handcuffs, though?
Yeah, he wasn't handcuffed during the whole ordeal until the end. Did he think, like, he was going to, like, poop it out and, like, he was going to make a grand escape?
What, the back of the cop car?
Yeah, like, what else do you have? A hand?
Just poops it out?
And, yeah.
But why?
What's he doing back there?
He's defecating! Stop him!
Run away!
The cops just abandoned the car. They just start sprinting into the horizon.
He's pooping,
run! We weren't trained for this! But are all handcuff keys the same?
I think so.
He has a handcuff key. Are they universal? That seems like a security flaw, Rich.
I don't know. I guess. Why else would you have a handcuff key up your butt?
Maybe he was doing something kinky and that was like a... I don't know. There's no reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's no... You can't logic your way out of this one.
Yeah.
You can't... There's no reasonable explanation. I think... Yeah.
Yep, Florida. That's the only reason I can find. Florida.
Florida. There you go.
Yep, that's all of the odd news I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Well, let's start to wrap things up and go over everything that we've learned on this episode. Folks, what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I've learned that it's okay to keep your keys up your butt.
Sure.
You could do magic tricks like push the clicker with your butt cheeks, and if you lose your keys, you just twerk a little bit and you hear them jingling.
Find out where they are just by twerking.
Yeah, it's basically like a third pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice secure way to keep them up there. Yeah.
Put it right next to your heroin.
Yeah. That's a really big pocket you got there.
Yeah.
Heroin and keys and guns, oh my. Really weird version of the Wizard of Oz. We also learned, or I learned, that stealing fire extinguishers is a crime.
It is.
That is
a legit crime.
Yeah, and that's something that I actually learned.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I also learned, you came up with this. Your brand new cereal, Rich.
Yeah.
Snap, crackle, cocaine.
Yeah, man, that's going to take over the kids.
So you're marketing directly to kids.
Yeah. Got to start them when they're young.
Wow, you're just cutthroat, man.
Yeah.
Kellogg should hire you.
Put that cereal on the bottom shelf.
You devilish person, you. It's a good marketing campaign.
Yep.
We also learned another thing that you came up with, human vending machines.
Yeah.
Speaking of things up the butt.
Yeah, man.
You just have a butt attached to a wall, and what do? You slap the butt cheek and drugs comes out.
Rule of thumb, if you have more than 1,000 things up your butt, you probably could be a human vending machine.
Probably.
All right.
It's just some good advice from Rich.
Yeah.
If you have that many things up your butt, be a human vending machine. Why not?
Yeah, just do it.
Rich, you had a lot of highlights this episode. Because we found out that your dream is to own a championship belt.
Yes.
And to take it everywhere.
I do. If I ever get a championship belt, I'm bringing it everywhere.
I bought a grenade. Is it time for you to buy a championship belt?
Well, here's the difference. A grenade was only, what, $20?
$12.
$12. A real championship belt is at least like $400.
Yeah. Never mind. Maybe later.
Yeah, I need substantially more money.
One day, Rich.
Or I have to earn it in an actual wrestling match.
I'll join the WWE.
Oh, I don't know if I can handle all this.
You mean you can't jump off of a 20 story, not 20 story, 20 foot
cage? I can't jump off a 20 foot cage.
You could jump. You might not survive.
Yeah.
That's a little problem. That's a tiny bit problem.
Not going to end well.
Oh. But you know what else I learned doesn't end well? Florida, when it has a heat wave. That's what makes them crazy.
So many odd news
stories. The heat gets to them. And they just go insane. We had like 4 odd news stories this week.
Yeah. And there you go, folks. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
There you go. you go, folks. Another crazy episode in the books with that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, fun times.
Jam-packed episode. Basketball. Golf.
Zombies,
WrestleMania.
Wrestling.
And things up the butt.
And things up the butt, yes. That's one of the major categories here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. And if you want to learn more about the categories we have on the Crispy Noodle Podcast and on our websites and on our videos, check out our main website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. We have some brand new video noodles up. A fantastic one that Rich put together about the grenade from last week. And also a fun little parody we did about House of Cards.
Yeah.
Make sure you go check out those videos. Rich, you did a fantastic job on them.
Oh,
so funny. That is the Crispy Noodle Podcast on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe there. But also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, phone, or tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show condensed into a quick 1 to 2 minute format that you can easily share on the go with friends and family. It's definitely an easy way to get other people addicted to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Just like any good drug.
Yes.
Share the Crispy Noodle with your friends and family.
Yeah, and wait until they get Snap, Crackle, and Cocaine.
Oh-hoo. That's right. That's right. You got to hook them when they're young.
Yeah.
Oh, so many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. And that's how you find us on the Twitters individually.
Hashtag Snap Crackle Cocaine.
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Of course.
Yep. Well, folks, that'll do it for us. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.